Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we'll hear from former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish what she's up to now that she's left the job she was serving in Washington, D.C., and what are her plans to possibly run for governor in 2022. Also, Republican State Representative Warren Petrick talked to us about adoption and what's going on that front in Madison during Adoption Awareness Month. And a special exhibit is now at the Chippewa Valley Museum in Eau Claire. It's titled The Power of Children Making a Difference. All that ahead in the next 15 minutes on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WDOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Welcome. We begin with Lieutenant Governor Clayfish. And back in October, she announced that she was returning home to Wisconsin after running the Women's Suffrage Centennial Commission in Washington, D.C. And she promised that she would soon share her next plans. Well, on Tuesday, November 12th, she did just that, issuing a news release statewide early that morning. And she told us what her plans are.
I am announcing today that I am partnering with ABC of Wisconsin, which is Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin, to kind of continue some work I did as Lieutenant Governor, as Jobs Ambassador.
After 8 years as Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor, Clayfish said her love and appreciation for the state has grown exponentially. She says her new project allows her to continue to advocate for Wisconsin workers and families and the economy. Nonetheless, political speculation abounds. What about a possible run for governor in 2022? She says, not so fast. First of all, we've got 2020 to get through.
It's not only the presidential, it's also the state Supreme Court. And so we need to make sure that we're getting Dan Kelly reelected. That's going to come in April. Then obviously the presidential is going to come after that. And I think it would be very premature of me to make any sweeping declarations this early. I'm going to be focused on those two things.
Still near the end of the interview, Clayfish did give us a bit of a hint as to the likelihood that she would run for governor in 2022, saying,
believe it or not, guys, we only have had 20 states that have had female governors.
That's so sad. That's so sad.
Well, who knows? We might be able to change that.
Former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. Meanwhile, recently on the WIB Wake Up Show, Republican State Representative Warren Petrick of the 93rd Assembly District joined Hillary Roth, Caleb Swenson, and myself as we talked about Adoption Awareness Month in November.
Fabulous, you know, to bring more awareness to what is often a very challenging process. Let's put it that way, especially when bureaucracies get involved, and especially with something as emotional as children being involved, and often the very emotional portion of taking them away from their birth parents. And so it becomes a very challenging topic, as they found out when they did the Speaker's Task Force and the hearings that have been going on. But we've been on this topic now in the state legislature for quite some time, and we've actually gotten some really positive results of legislation in the past, and then we're looking forward to a whole new package of bills in the very near future.
So what kind of things can we expect from the legislature as far as what are you working towards to help and streamline this process?
Well, that's a very good question, and the task force actually spent quite a bit of time going around the state having hearings, and what they heard over and over were the challenges that we're facing right now, especially in the public adoption forum. So when my colleague, Representative Dietrich, took this on, she had several goals that she would try to accomplish through a package of legislation. So that's what's going to be happening in the near future. And I'm not sure if the bills will be quite ready for our passage in November, or hopefully it'll get through the public process, the public hearing process, and this month for sure, and then on the floor in January. But out of that, her goals were several. One was to shorten the timeline for adoption, and I'm sure you know people that have waited and waited to try to get adoption happening, and those stories are rampant in all of our communities throughout the state and the nation. So that was number one, is to shorten that timeline. Second, lower the costs. It's quite expensive to adopt, so that was another major goal that she took on, and the entire task force. And it's a bipartisan group of legislators who went around to I believe, 8 different hearings at various locations. And then the third thing was provide awareness and resources to those that are going through the process. So the awareness part is just exactly what you're doing. So thank you for your public service of bringing more awareness to this topic. So she had a great quote. You know, she said, our goal is perhaps double the number of adoptions over the next 5 years in the state because there's such a need. And then she went on to say that the pendulum has swung almost too far toward adults over children, and we need to bring it back closer to center and really put these kids first. So I think that all of us in the legislature on all sides of the aisle, in both houses, I'm sure the governor is on that page, that we really need to find that delicate balance, but make sure that the children are our number one priority.
We're talking about Adoption Awareness Month. I'm just curious, I mean, with meth being such a huge and growing problem and the way that is being destructive in terms of families, then the kids, how is that, because we've seen this growing number in a number of counties in our listening, how does that impact into the adoption area?
Well, great question, Mark. And I just met with folks from Child Services from Eau Claire County and Barron County, St. Croix County, Dunn County last week. They came in. And overall, the number one thing that I hear as far as a challenge to these things are the number of drug addictions are so up. And that is forcing counties into a really tough position where they don't have the resources to handle the number of children that are unfortunately the victims of the meth use, opioid use, and of course we've tried to we've taken this on very, very front and center. We're leading the nation in the HOPE agenda, the heroin and opiate prevention and education package that we've brought forth the past several terms, and we're going to be doing more on that. But again, it's just people making such bad choices for the individual in their life, and they often don't think about the others that are affected, and especially the children. So that, you know, trying to find the healthy balance between parents' rights and what's best for the child becomes even more complex for the courts, for the everybody that's involved, for the people that are trying to adopt these children and give them a good home. So these bills that we're looking at are going to be hopefully very meaningful, providing more resources for the children, especially those with special needs. Expanding the legal rights of foster parents is always challenging. And creating a clear process for families that want to allow visitations. In some cases, the parent, the natural birth parent, still should be and can be and wants to be involved. And so do the foster parents want them to be involved. So we want to make sure that we have a statutory procedure for that so that that can happen. And then legislation protecting the children, and that's a tough, that's a really tough one. And those are still in hearing. We're going to listen to all sides of this and amend the bills as much as possible. But anytime you terminate parental rights, it's a very emotional thing. Mm-hmm. I actually sat on a jury probably 25 years ago where we were tasked with the decision of whether or not to take a child away from a mother who was obviously very troubled and on drugs. And we did decide that it was in the best interest of that child.
Heart-wrenching decisions all around as we look.
It was difficult. I think we met for probably 4 to 5 hours, and it was emotional on the parts of all of us that were partaking. So I understand that we need to watch out for the child, probably first of all. But that parent also has rights and perhaps should have a jury trial of their peers make that decision to tear that child away from. But in that case, it was very clear in my mind that that child would be better served in a foster home than certainly this woman who could provide no stability going forward. So we're going to listen to all sides of that and look at amendments if we need to. But I'm very excited for the package. I will support it as much as I can from my seat, and I know my colleagues will too on both sides of the aisle.
Republican State Representative Warren Petrick of the 93rd Assembly District here in the Chippewa Valley with us. A recent appearance on the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB and WIB.com. I'm Mark Halverson. This is Chippewa Valley This Week. And we haven't heard the last of Warren. We've got a special treat with him coming up right at the end of today's program. A special exhibit called The Power of Children, Making a Difference is now on display at the Chippewa Valley Museum at Carson Park in Eau Claire through January 4th. The exhibit highlights three children, the best known of which is Anne Frank.
Right. Yeah, as a Holocaust survivor and, you know, her diary is often read by students in high school, in school. And so most people are going to know Anne Frank for sure.
Chippewa Valley Museum communication specialist Olaf Lynn describes the only boy featured in the exhibit.
Ryan White was a young man who contracted HIV/AIDS in the 1980s. And, you know, you learn about his struggle to stay in school and, you know, how he sort of overcame and became an educator and someone who really changed the world.
As for how White contracted AIDS, Lynn says
he contracted it through a medicine for hemophilia.
Yeah,
so it was
okay.
A blood product. Yeah.
And the final child featured in the special exhibit is
Ruby Bridges was a young girl who was the first to integrate a white school in New Orleans in Louisiana. In about 1960.
The exhibit was organized by the Children's Museum of Indianapolis and, again, will be at the Chippewa Valley Museum in Eau Claire through January 4th. Meanwhile, as state leaders examine ways to improve retirement security, some small businesses are expressing interest in a Wisconsin retirement savings program. State data shows 400,000 Wisconsinites are at risk of retiring in poverty by 2030, and nearly 1 million workers in the state don't have an employer-sponsored retirement savings program. Lisa Lampkins with AARP Wisconsin says many small business owners want to offer that option to their workers, but struggle with it.
There are lots of barriers. If they're doing it on their own, it can be too costly to operate it or too complicated or time-consuming. They may and likely don't have a human resources person who can figure all of this out.
Research shows that Americans are 15 times more likely to save for retirement when they can do so at work, and Lampkins contends Social Security isn't enough to depend on.
A lot of people think, oh, I'll be fine, Social Security will be there. But the average Social Security benefit in Wisconsin is a little over $1,400 a month. If you're going to rely on that, there's not going to be enough money to handle basic expenses like rent, utilities, food.
10 states have launched various work and save programs, which Lampkins explains is a simple way for businesses to offer workers a way to save for retirement through a payroll deduction.
States have realized that they need to pay attention to the growing poverty among seniors and the economic insecurity when people don't have enough money in retirement. If people haven't saved enough, they're likely to end up on government safety net programs, which cost the state and taxpayers money.
So according to a new AARP Wisconsin poll, 77% of small business owners support an option that'll help workers save for retirement at their jobs. Lampkin says the findings will be helpful for the governor's task force on retirement security, which recently held its first of six meetings as it prepares recommendations to be presented in August of next year. The poll also found 80% of small business owners agreed that retirement savings plans help small businesses attract employees and stay competitive, and 85% say state lawmakers should support a Wisconsin retirement savings option. And finally, that special treat we told you about regarding the singing state legislator, former member of the Memories, Warren Petrick. Certainly around this time of year, he and his group would often be performing Christmas concerts. So we asked him to indulge us and give us at least one stanza of a favorite Christmas song.
One that really comes to mind that I love singing every year, it comes from the Second World War, and Irving Berlin wrote it, but it really was the number one song among all the GIs because most of them were just wishing they could be with their families. And so it's just, I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams.
Beautiful.
Love it.
Well done.
There you go. A very filled 15 minutes on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, recapping former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish announcing she'll be a jobs ambassador. But what are her plans for governor? We'll have to stay tuned and see regarding 2022. Also, we'll let you know what's going on at the Capitol as far as adoption is concerned with the singing state legislator, Republican Warren Petrick of the 93rd Assembly District. Told you about that special exhibit, The Power of Children, at the Chippewa Valley Museum. And also that poll done by AARP Wisconsin. Wisconsin small businesses want to help workers save for the future. That's it for this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Mark Halverson, preceding a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio.